Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day, he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of your very favoritest Grey's Anatomy podcast, Grey's Academy. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful 2 a.m. it feels like in the morning for a podcast.
It does feel late. I am sleepy. But before we start, we must address. 'Tis been 3 years that we've been doing this.
3 years.
3 years since we it's put actually, our first episodes out.
It's kind of crazy. We just saw... We posted on the Facebook, or Kelsey had posted on the Facebook. Also, our old logo was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Grey's Academy, a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Grey's Academy, a Grey's Anatomy podcast. And
just
very
for clarification.
Soon. And very soon now, we will have another new logo. I think I'm going to. Should I just like do that tonight? I mean, we have it.
A rebrand? Just, like, in this economy?
In this economy.
Yeah. So thank you all so much for your support and for coming on this journey with us 3 years. Can't wait to see where we are in the next 3 years. You know, maybe we'll have three more years to go after that. Who knows at this point? Because, you know, they just keep making the show and we keep, only recording one episode a week. So here we are.
You know,
we're making our way through it.
Yeah. There's going to be a time where we will do maybe two episodes a week.
That's
for
the
one
dream.
Week, and then it'll take 2 years off our time.
That's not the dream. But yeah, I just like we've had such a journey. You've had a baby since we started this. I've had a baby since we've started this. So many things have changed. I've moved twice. I moved from Florida, and then I moved to my own house in the state that I moved to. So many things have occurred in the past 3 years. What a journey.
It is crazy. I feel like we need to do a Patreon episode just to talk about all the things that have changed from episode one until now in our lives.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we did the Patreon where we rewatched the pilot episode. So we would have to also do a Patreon where we re-listen to our pilot episode.
Oh, that's funny. I actually do listen to like the first couple of minutes of our pilot. 'Cause it was so short. We crammed everything into 35 or 40
yeah.
minutes.
Heinous. Can't believe we did that.
I don't know how we got listeners, honestly.
It's because we released the first one. I was like, we got to release three at once. So we hooked people in. But
and I also remember how intense. So Kelsey was pretty intense in the beginning of like, we need to stay on topic. We need to do this. We need to do that. Like, we need to be very like informational.
We got
to
hook people in first.
Totally.
And then once they're into it, they can be like, oh, also those people are fun.
Yeah,
you gotta get them in first with the knowledge.
Yeah,
and then hook them with the funnies,
our claws in them. Oh goodness, no! I'm so proud of us. Seriously, so much is changing. So much is changing. So much is still changing.
So much has changed. I have doors on the office that changed today. Those people installed them today. They were very nice. They are very efficient. They got here at like 8:30 and it was done by like noon.
Amazing. They look great. I'm excited to see when they're painted too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to paint. We're going to paint in here. We're going to paint the hallway out there. Yeah, this when we ordered them, the guy was like, oh, they'll just come like a nice painted matte gray, like the same color as our kitchen cabinets. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, whatever. And then they got delivered and I was like, this is the ugliest tan you could possibly, like the ugliest beige you could possibly give me, which is fine because it'll be easy to paint over. Like, because I wasn't going to leave them gray probably because that wouldn't really make sense either. But this is easier to paint over. This is basically nothing. So,
no, anyways, that's nice.
Also, thank you all for coming on this journey with us. We just appreciate all of you. And it's so fun finding out how people heard about us or how people found us. If, you know, you shout out if you're the people that listening that my husband has told about us or my mom has told about us or my sister has told about us. Shout out, Joe.
Joe from Orlando.
And then like just, you know, the people who found us just looking for a Grays podcast and said they preferred us to the other ones. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. We see you. And yeah, just like thank you guys so much because more people are continuing to find us. So when you share, like it just spreads the word and it's just been really fun that we have had enough people care about this to keep doing it for 3 years and get to almost the end of season 7
with no spoilies except for that one, and it wasn't really a spoiler.
Yeah, this is the 147th overall episode, so we've done 147 Grays episodes plus plus a few extra, you know, here and there, like prediction episodes and recap episodes. So we've had a good time.
We've had a great time. I've also got some personal life news to share. Jessica and I bought a new bed, so we're very excited.
What did you buy?
A fucking purple, dude.
I can't believe you didn't take my advice. I'm so mad.
What did you say?
I said Sleep Number.
Well, here's the thing. We both loved the purple, and we didn't want the crease in between. We didn't want the two mattresses.
It's really not that noticeable, I'm going to tell you.
It's okay. We went to, so actually this is crazy. It was sporadic and very impromptu, just exactly like how I love my life. We went with the intention to just try beds at this mattress store. And it was it's a furniture store. It's like an Ashley, but it's called Steinhoffels. have you heard of that one?
No, but that's funny.
It might be just a Midwest thing, but they were advertising purple beds and they were advertising 0% interest. So I was like, okay, let's just go take a look. Let me try it. Because we'd never sat laid in one. So we went and we laid in one of them and we were like, oh no, this bed is dope. But we did try the Sleep Number. I didn't like the feel of the in between mattresses, whatever. Then we tried Ghost Bed. Shout out Leah, who recommended to try that one. Didn't love it, but we went with the purple. And I was like, look, I'm ready to buy right now, but I need you to cut me a better deal than this. Like, can you? They were like, we'll give you the $300, like it's a promo, $300 Steinhoffels cash, so you can use that to buy pillows. And I was like, make it $600 and you got a deal. And they're like, yeah, no negotiations. And I was like, okay, not a problem. I'm walking away. I don't need this bed. And then I looked and Mattress Firm had the bed. And I was like, you know what? Let me just walk in and see if they'll give me a discount. The dude, listen, all in, took $2,700 off of this shit. 0% interest for three times the length of period that Steinhoffels was offering. So this is not a shit-talking Steinhoffels thing because they have their rules. I get it. Respect. This is a Mattress Firm. Fucking, I've bought two beds
from them
now. They don't
have any rules.
They're like, let me just make... you tell me how much this bed is.
Inventory now.
It was online. I'm getting it shipped. They didn't even have it in the store. Some person across the country is going to ship this bed, and it's going to cost them more to move this bed than what I paid. And I don't.
We also got a good deal on our Sleep Number because I think we went on like Labor Day weekend. That's when things are always on sale. And then we were also like, is there any other discount? Is there any other discount? We were like those people. And
absolutely.
Did the 0% interest. We followed the Carbon model, being like,
absolutely.
Can you just give us other discounts?
Listen, you just have to be willing to walk away from it.
Well, and the girl was also saying that a lot of people go into the Sleep Number store, because we went to the Sleep Number store. We were like in it to win it. We were like, we're getting a bed here. We just have to pick which one, because they shockingly have like 700 options.
Right.
And
it's a lot.
She was like, people come in all the time and then just go home and order online. And that sucks for them because like they get commission.
Yeah.
And I was like, that sucks because it's using your time.
Yeah.
And then like you get nothing for that. And she's like, yeah, it's really frustrating. And I was like, well, we're just going to buy this. So yeah. Let's go.
I told the guy, I was like, look, this is all the things that I'm looking at online. If you can match this deal or even get better than this deal, I will just buy with you right here in person. I don't want to have to go through the internet. I know these people get commission. And I've worked in retail long enough that they have inside goals for the building.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to help you hit your goals. And it's just, like, one dude in there. His name was John. Yep. He's just like, yeah, man, like, we get, like, 5 customers a day. And I'm like, well, let me end your day on a high note. But, like, I need you to know this is the price that I'm looking for. If you can hit it, you're getting a sale. If not, I'm walking away. And he's like, okay, do you care if I give you a better deal? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'll be super offended if you give me a better deal. How fucking dare you, John?
Yeah. So we ended up getting the purple mattress, the elite. The frame. The frame that has a motor for your head and for your feet.
Oh, Michael's jealous.
And then we got 4 pillows and a mattress cover, all for the low price of $6. And
wow, what a deal!
He really was giving it away. No, I'm kidding. It was an amount of money that I won't say here, but it was 60% 60% interest. No,
what a deal!
That's how they make their money in the back end.
They put it
on
the credit card that has 80% interest, compounding daily.
Minute by the minute.
Oh, yes.
This conversation alone for 10 minutes has cost me $12,000.
We are finance bros now. So guys, just like buy real estate. So.
Invest in Doge. But
buy that Bitcoin.
We got it for 60 months, 0% interest. So we were feeling pretty good.
Also, for legal reasons, we do not want you to buy Bitcoin.
for legal reasons, Doge either.
Also, for legal reasons, like, crypto is fucking insane. Please don't buy
unless you buy with Trump coin, in which case this episode is brought to you by...
In which case, it's worse than insane.
Did you watch the video of him going to the deli to convert money into Bitcoin, then to use Bitcoin to buy his sandwich or some shit?
I hate
this
it.
This is not a political podcast. This is not a financial podcast. This is not...
Okay, do you have shout-outs to do? Because we do have to record this episode.
I have a shout-out, yes.
So sleepy.
I have 2 shout-outs. Number one, okay. Happy birthday to our sweet, sweet Alicia.
Alicia!
We are big fans of yours, and also sweetest of recoveries to you after your procedure.
Yes.
This part is to your boyfriend. Hey, boyfriend, I'm sorry I don't know your name. I'm sure it's something handsome, like Eric or Davidson, or what's the guy from Frozen? Hans. No, he's the bad guy. Sven.
That's the fucking reindeer.
That's the Christoph. Reindeer. What's
it's
his name?
Christoph.
Something handsome like Christoph, right? So Christoph, Alicia's boyfriend, whatever Sven. Your handsome face and handsome name is, make sure you're taking care of that little angel in her medical time of need. Shout out to Meg. She was we were having some really good conversations. And we were talking about the conversation between saying I'm sorry, even when we don't mean it, for argument's sake. Also, shout out to Callista, having some really awesome conversations around, like, religious traumas. So we had some good bonding moments
so
over
fun.
That. Shout out to a new follower named Laura the Explorer. This was so wild. So she's stationed in Greenland for work, and she is in the northernmost settlement in the entire world, and she does not have Wi-Fi when she's there. So what she does, she doesn't have Wi-Fi once she leaves work. So what she does is she will download all of these episodes at work and
Incredible.
Then binge them. So, she's still in season 5, episode 18
oh, yeah.
and
She commented on one of the reels. She commented on the reel from season 5 finale being like, I'm early season 5 and I want to skip to this episode, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. She loved that I guessed Izzy's brain tumor, and she said that was a massive no fucking way. So love that. Cook up a pot of hot coffee and listen to us, and just shout out, Laura. We really appreciate you. And then also shout out to Angie, who had sent me... We were talking about the How to Train Your Dragon murder scenes. And then last is... Oh, fuck, who was I going to shout out? Brianna sent me some Zachary Levi shit. Did you see that?
Yeah, he sucks. But I've known that he sucked for a while. This is not the first thing that he sucks for, unfortunately.
That's a bummer. I didn't know that. So you'll need to educate me on that later. Shout out to Katya for sharing our podcast. And also shout out Sarah. She shared the deleted scene from when Bailey told
it hurts
what's
my heart.
What's her face?
Reed.
Reed about what's his face? Chuck?
Percy.
Charles? Charles? Yeah.
Charles Percy.
And then also just as like a rule of thumb, shout out to our other friend, Megan.
Also,
there's so many people I want to shout out. I'm like going through all my messages, like fuck.
But just the hurricane hit really hard in my mountains here.
Mm. Yes.
Really hard in the Northeast Tennessee, which is where I went to college. So I have a lot of friends up there who are luckily physically okay, but their houses are damaged. They are still without power like a week later. And you know, there's just like a lot of damage that I think still isn't even known, because a lot of the things we're seeing is from places that still have power and service, and there are a lot of places where there's no service and no power. And it's just like a lot of really rural areas. And if you like have the means to donate, there's a lot of things that are already on the ground, like Samaritan's Purse and World Kitchen organization. Those are both two really good ones, and they're already there doing a lot. I know there are a lot of GoFundMes and they are like verified, but I have seen, I don't know if this is true, I have just seen some discourse online about if they accept like things from GoFundMe, that it could affect like how much they get from insurance or how much they get like from federal aid. So I would just donate to organizations that like, you know, are on the ground, or if you're in just like the South region, there's so many places here that are like gathering donations, and then they'll just send one truck up because a lot of the roadways are inaccessible. So they're telling people not to travel, but they'll do like one truckload of supplies to take. So yeah, just send out, you know, just it's been really rough to see all the damage, and it's just like something that you would never would think would happen, like 3.5 hours inland from the ocean, that they would get hit by a tropical storm that would be so insanely devastating. So just to bring down the mood, keep them in your thoughts. If you have the means, just donate, or just, you know, support. You can, there's other things you can do. Like you can share, like donation links, and kind of just share the news about it and other ways to help and be thinking about. It's because it's really bad. North Carolina, parts of South Carolina, the bottom part of Virginia, and then the top part of Tennessee.
Mm.
It's just like crazy. And if like there were a lot of people saying, you know, why didn't they evacuate? I mean, living in Florida, we can both say we've lived through so many things that were supposed to be like terrible hurricanes, and then at the last second it's not. This was unfortunately the opposite. Like 10 hours before it hit, where it hit, it was slated to hit where I am, and it moved.
Right. It turned.
So like you really can't tell with a storm. Like there really wasn't time to evacuate. You know, the places that could did, but there were places that couldn't. And honestly, it's a double-edged sword, because if those people had evacuated, they would have been on the roads when the roads got washed away, or like when the roads got covered in mud slides, and or like they would have been stranded in their cars. So like, it happened the way it happened, and it's best not to be like, oh, you should have done X, Y, and Z. It's best to just, like, be, how can I help? Just, like, a better response.
Hindsight is always
in general.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can talk about Grey's Anatomy since it's 20 minutes in now.
Yeah, we're just hopeful that, obviously, anyone who's affected, our hearts go out to you, and if we can be a little bit of a reprieve or a bit of comedy or nostalgia in this time of need, obviously we want to do our best for all of you and honor our podcast and the mission and what we've done for the last 3 years. So just maybe if you want, Kelsey, tomorrow when this episode goes live, do you want to post some of those links on our story and just say,
yeah,
like,
and
hey,
I
this
have
is-
friends as well in those areas that also are like posting reputable places to donate to that will like directly have positive impact on people who
that's
are
good.
In need right now. So I can vouch for these people because I know these people and I know that they're like on the ground getting this information firsthand. It's not, you know, somebody's cousin said that you could Venmo them and they'll, you know, it's not something like that. It's like real. So I'll post that. And again, like, I know times are tough. So we're like, if you can't donate, that's fine. You can still like share the information and just kind of help spread it. Cause you never know who you know that is able to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, just because I thought of this off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly where Drew and Janisha live, but I know they're in Tennessee too. So hopefully you guys are safe.
They're more mid
guys.
And western. Okay. Like they're in the got other it. Side. They probably just got rain like we did. So
well, either way, still shout out to you guys. Be safe, yeah. Drew and Janisha. Thinking of you guys. You wanna talk about Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. This is the 21st episode of the 7th season. It is the 147th episode overall, and it is called I Will Survive, and it is the exact song that you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's I Will Survive, and we, if you're thinking, is that the one? Yes, it is.
It is.
I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, released October 1978 under... Polydor Records, and it is the second single from the album Love Tracks. So written by Freddie Perren and Dino Farrakis, or Fakaris, not Farrakis. Fakaris. So this particular single, as we can all imagine, just crushed it right out of the gate. It spent three... not consecutive. It had a little bit of a blip there, but it did spend 3 weeks total at number one on the US Billboard Hot 100 and also hit number one in a number of other charts too. So these are the places that it was top 10. So Australia, Belgium, Canada, Finland, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, the aforementioned United States, and West Germany. So shout out to West
holla.
Germany. Yeah, holla. This song, so here's what I'm going to tell you guys. This is a five. This is a five in all accounts. It's a great song. Love this song. You can't help but like when it comes on, you're vibing to it. You're
certified
feeling it.
Bop.
Certified bop. This is one of those songs that I will say embarrassingly did not already have in my iTunes library. So
I didn't know you didn't have it.
Yeah. So I went back and downloaded it.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah, I got an email from the place that I was telling you about earlier that I broke their hearts.
Ah, well, they can suck it. Well. And I've said that for years and I will continue to say that.
but anyways, yeah, so wonderful song. Let's take it away. Let's at the casual 23, almost 23 minute mark of the episode, let's go ahead and start a podcast.
Written by Zoanne Clack, seen many, many times, directed by our BFF Tom Verica, aka Sam Keating.
AKA Dead Man.
Mm-hmm. Aired May 12th, 2011. This is the penultimate episode for season 7. Next week is the finale.
Oh.
So they were doing some shit in this episode.
They were, but can I just tell you, like, I don't feel like I have any idea what's coming next episode.
Yeah, like, I will have to talk about the season 7 finale next week because I have a lot of
obviously
thoughts on it. Obviously. No, we should talk about like the season 2 finale.
Yeah. I don't even what happened in season 2 finale? Was that the bomb? Was that
cut Dylan? The L-bad wire.
Danny, oof, man.
Yep, prom.
Oh, prom.
Also this episode, you're going to be mad. 9.63 million.
Damn it. We're under the double digits again.
I know.
I'm personally offended for all of Shondaland.
Honestly, same.
Wait, which speaking of, shout out. Did you see we were in the same group thread with Ryan and Leah. Shonda was out getting
campaigning. Yeah.
For the Harris canvassing. Walls campaign.
Hell yeah.
Look
in
at
where,
that. In Pittsburgh.
In where Leah lives. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not to dox Leah, but her address is.
Yeah. And social if you need it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I did cheat, and again, and the Netflix and Hulu synopsises are actually the same word for word this week.
Okay.
So, work and personal pressures leave Meredith on edge.
Mm.
Formal interviews for the chief resident position begin. Lucy and Alex's relationship is tested.
Okay, this is the most thorough it's been in a long time.
Yeah, the most thorough without being spoily.
Yeah. So
there you go. That's what happened.
There's a lot that we're going to talk about with Alex in this episode because he's part of a couple different storylines here.
Mm-hmm.
But I texted a rare episodal text to Kelsey and I said, man, Alex just cannot catch a break, this guy.
So true.
Like,
yeah.
I,
and he said to this episode, he said, you know what, Karma? I'm going to give it back. And we said, oh, yikes.
Yeah. And you know, the bummer about it, I guess, should we just talk about Alex?
Yes. Yes.
Were you thinking something different?
Alex. No, I just wanted to make sure I didn't have anything else that I needed to say before we started. And I don't. So let's talk about Alex.
So the storyline with Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
A roller coaster. I couldn't tell
you
from where the episode started to where the episode ended. No idea. And it's a bummer because even in the first scene when she's talking about Baylor, which Baylor is
in Texas, it's a real place.
Texas. Yeah. Okay. Shut the fuck up. I know it's a real place.
Okay. I didn't know where your question was going. So sorry to offend you.
No, I couldn't. I know. Okay. First, I'm going to retract that. That was a bit hot. Okay. I'm sorry. I take it back. I know it's a real place. I couldn't remember where it was in. For some reason, Texas. New York came to mind. So Texas. Okay.
No, it's Texas. Although we have a Baylor High School here in Tennessee, in my town, Chattanooga.
May also have a Baylor High School near us.
But it is not associated with Baylor College.
So Texas to Seattle is really not that bad. Flights. Okay.
Probably like what? 2-3 hours maybe?
Maybe. It's probably the same distance as Chicago to Orlando, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But equidistant. But that's like 3.5 hours and a time change, which same thing. I think it's West Coast Central. But anyways, so the first episode, the first scene where she's bringing this up, I was like, okay, so this is going to be like a beef, but Alex wasn't being a dick about it. He was just being oblivious.
Well, yeah, I think
I don't think he was malicious right off the bat.
I don't think he was malicious, but I think he was walls up intentionally, but not to hurt her, but to protect himself from getting hurt by her because of the past and also because of the future, apparently.
Oh. Goodness.
So I do have some things to say about this, the girl who played Lucy, because I want to pull this up and get this correct. Rachel Taylor. I am almost positive that they wrote her off because she like went to go star in this other show that was going to be on at the same time that I want to say did really like nothing. I think it had like one season.
Wait, is this a series wrap on Lucy Fields?
No. I'm just telling you why they did this. Charlie's Angels. It was a Charlie's Angels TV show.
Wow.
And yeah, there were 8 episodes of it. So, you know, I just don't feel like it panned out the way that the season 21 of Grey's just premiered. I don't think it panned out the way she maybe thought it was going to. But that is why they wrote the storyline of her needing to take a leave.
So she's gone.
I did not say that.
She's gone. Official prediction. Kelsey spoiled it. She's gone.
Okay, what did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. Okay, Arizona cool. still Good had talk. Like two episodes after she said she was leaving to...
But you said she was going to come back in like season 12, I think. I don't remember what your prediction was on that one.
I just thought that we were going to have...
that she was just going to come back at some point, but it was going to be like...
Which she did.
Away.
I did it. I predicted it. I don't... I thought there was going to be maybe one more episode where like they're going to fight or something mm-hmm. next episode. But if she's gone, she's gone. That's fine.
I mean, I don't actually know if that she's gone. I really don't.
Well, I don't
but
either.
They did write her off. She's not on the show anymore.
Okay.
In the 21st season. Spoiler alert.
So, but sometime between...
next episode. Who's to say?
Yeah.
I mean, I am.
The triumphant return of Lucy Fields.
Yeah. So she went to go be one of Charlie's Angels on the long-running 8-episode single-season series Charlie's Angel. So
it's crazy to think about how these TV shows work because, like, even listening to the Matthew Perry documentary, mm-hmm. his friend who actually got cast as Chandler originally took a different show.
Yeah.
And that opened the door for Matthew Perry to get Chandler and get his big break.
Well, and Rachel was signed on to a different show that, thank God, didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think about, like, obviously we know I'm a huge Gilmore Girls fan. Lots of people left that show to do other shows that went on to be also phenomenons. So Chad Michael Murray left to be on One Tree Hill. And I think he did a stint on Dawson's Creek first. And then... Seth Cohen, who, oh my God, looks so good, has aged so fucking well. Seth Cohen left to go do
The
OC.
I don't know if I know who that is.
Oh, he's attractive. And then...
Rocky Balboa's son?
No, he... Well, they tried Milo. To get him... They tried to get him a spinoff, but then they just brought him back.
Oh.
And then he went on Heroes. And then he has that show, This Is Us. But then
he was great on Heroes.
Dean, Jared Padalecki, left to go do Supernatural. And I was like, ugh, that's what a terrible show compared to Gilmore Girls. And it ran for like 800 seasons and Gilmore Girls and ran like two more after he left. And that was it.
Is that the guy who's the resident? That
no.
TV show?
Logan, Matt Zuckerre, his father. Teaches mathematics where I went to college.
Okay, is Dean, spoiler alert, skip 30 seconds for
Dean
private
is
practice
the first
spoilers.
One. Oh, private
in private practice?
No.
Who's
none
the
of them
one
are
who?
In private practice.
The fireman from Addison.
Oh, that's Rory's dad.
That's who it, okay. I knew he was a Gilmore Girls person.
You're right, he is.
Okay.
Now that we've gone off to Gilmore Girls, we'll take a quick break from our sponsors and then we'll circle back to Alex.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're circling back. Okay.
We've circled.
So, Alex. So, obviously, roller coaster with Lucy. What were your thoughts when Arizona offered him or suggested that he take the job in Africa?
It kind of shocked. Mm-hmm. Because wasn't she going to Africa for some wildly prestigious award that she won?
She won a grant. She won a grant, and that is what she was using her grant for. So a grant is just an amount of money.
Okay.
That is like you have to use it for X, Y, or Z, and they give you like parameters. What was the grant?
The Shannon Carter Shapiro, Madison. Pardon me, but
Carter Madison.
Carter Madison. And we're going to meet Carter Madison at some point.
So I believe she used the money to set up the clinic, and she was just meant to stay there for a year. Again, not that long of a time. And so then she told Alex to go take her spot. And then Alex turns it down, and Lucy snakes in and grabs it because she's a little bit of a psychopath.
The actual word that I used was she snaked it from him in my notes.
Yeah, that's so funny.
We were right there. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
When he was just professing his feelings for her.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I never plan for the future because every time I do, I get kicked in the teeth. And then she's like, cool. Let me just kick you in the teeth. Fuck you over. So that's unfortunate. And yeah, like we said, Alex is all over the place in this episode. He's upset about Lucy. He's upset about Chief Resident because he's probably not going to get it. He didn't take this really awesome job opportunity that was like basically, you know, made for him that he would have been really good at. And then his lady friend took it and is leaving him to steal his job. And then he gets really drunk. And Christina's like, you know what? You should go steal that job back. And people trust Meredith. And he's like, oh, people fucking trust Meredith? Psh, not on my watch. Not on my watch, Owen.
Yeah.
Owen, let me tell you something.
And he even was like, dude, you okay? And he's like, no, I'm not okay.
I mean, they did the eye drops that make your eyes red. Like, he was supposed to be drunk.
Well, he even at one point went back when Christina said people trust Meredith. And that's when he was like, oh yeah, they trust him.
Oh, they
and
trust her? Oh.
And he was like on the verge of crying. Like he had like tears in his eyes. Like there was a lot going on in his face. And he was sad and he was drinking. And April made a cameo. Like April is
April's
going to
like,
get chief
rules
president.
Rules are good. Rules are great.
Rules got me fired and rules got me hired.
And rules save lives, motherfucker. Yeah. So first of all, when you texted me, Alex cannot catch a break, had you finished the episode yet?
No, I texted that he can't catch a break.
When Lucy was like, fuck you.
Yeah. When Lucy said, I'm taking this job.
Yeah. So what was your reaction when it was Meredith messed with the Alzheimer's trial and then just like that was the end of the episode?
I was like, this, like, what's gonna happen? What is the point? What is he trying to do? Like, what? I don't understand, because now Derek and Meredith are married. Meredith are trying to get a child
and trying to cure Alzheimer's
so like, does Owen say anything? Does he not say anything? Like, he just spent all this time talking about how rules are good and parameters, and Christina, you can't be a chief resident because you don't like operating the rules, like you just want to do surgery, blah blah blah.
Like, I love Christina and I hate Owen, but like, he was very correct in that assessment.
Well,
we'll get to that.
Yeah, Christina, there's a moment where I was like, this interaction is you and me. So yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. It's wild. It's kind of out of left field. I thought either Meredith was going to tell Derek herself, or it was just never going to come to light. And this is going to be one of those storylines. This is going to be the equivalent of Addison getting sued and then we never hear about anything else again. Like,
or who is Sadie's dad? Things that keep
who
me
is
up
Sadie's
at night.
Dad?
Who's Sadie's dad?
Harper Avery, maybe.
Nope, probably not.
Harper, it's the offspring of Harper Avery and Carter Madison.
Maybe it's like, it's got to be someone on the board.
Yeah.
Like Larry.
Maybe
Penis
it's Weber.
Fish.
Ooh, Penis Fish. Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, I know you were adamant that Meredith was going to come clean about it and that was going to be how the story kind of resolved, but clearly that's not what happened. So yeah, it's kind of, the ball is definitely in Owen's court at this point.
Yeah, there's a chance I got that prediction wrong, maybe.
And it's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's definitely you don't see it coming, because it's not, I don't feel it to be an Alex move. Because it's not even out of like, let me hurt Meredith. I think his goal in this moment, obviously he's hurt with the Lucy situation. He's also hurt because when he started everything with this Africa project, everyone was like, you're going to be chief resident. You're going to be chief. Like, you're doing such an amazing job. And then they're basically like, well, it's going to go to Meredith just because like, she's more organized than you are. And like, people trust her. And like, you know, you're good at this, but like, you wouldn't be good at that. People won't like, you know, respect you. And he's like, it's not even about making people respect him. It's just like, well, if they don't respect Meredith, maybe it'll be up to me.
Yeah, it didn't, to me, it didn't read as much as like a leveling the playing field. Yeah. It was more like, I'm going to level everything. This is now scorched earth and I don't care. Like, if I'm not going to get it anyways, well, neither is Meredith.
There was a lot of thought put into it. I think there was
a lot of alcohol
put into it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what we're meant to believe. We're not meant to think, you know, he's had this information for what I would assume to be weeks at this point, who knows in Grace time. And so like, he hasn't done anything with it yet. I think if he did have intention of doing something with it, he would have already done something with it.
Yeah.
I think there was just, you know, one thing after another, and then there was just like the straw that broke the camel's back, and this happened. It was just like the perfect storm of the opportunity to tell Owen. You know, had Owen not come in to get Christina, would he have like sobered up and told him the next day? Probably not.
No.
I don't know. Maybe is there a world where they offer Meredith chief resident and then Alex tells someone? I don't think so. Like, I think a lot of shit would have to happen for that to occur. I think that's way less likely than this scenario. But yeah, I mean, it's shocking.
It is.
We've seen the arc Alex himself has gone through. We've seen the arc Alex has gone through as a friend with Meredith. It is, yeah, like, it's not what you expect.
Yeah, I also didn't expect it in this episode. Like, yeah, like I said, we just... I think we start the episode with Alex just kind of being a doofus.
Well, Alex and Meredith are kind of, you know, like going back and forth with each other. They have been for the past couple episodes.
Yeah, but then you have
again,
the scene.
He hasn't done anything with it yet. If he was going to do something, I think he would have already done it.
Yeah, especially because he could have talked about it in the interview with Owen.
Yeah.
So, and then we get that elevator scene where it was like back to back to back to back. Where Christina's giving life advice for everyone. Yeah, and one of the things in there was like, ooh, you love Lucy. Oh, you should tell her. You should have her come with you. Did you tell her you miss her? Because you should have started there. Yeah. Or you'd miss her because that's where you should have started. So, yeah, it's, you know, we get that kind of revelation, and then it's just a bummer. It's a bummer because we're about to get, like, good guy Alex, maybe some resolution there. Now, the thing is all of this storyline is going simultaneously with some shocking... stuff from Africa. Anyways, we're getting Abina and Lebo.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's like good to go. She's getting discharged.
Yeah.
And her sister has some abdominal pain, and they're like, oh, maybe it's her spleen. It's not her spleen. It's the baby that's hanging out in her intestines, and her placenta is shredding itself because it's not in a uterus.
That was wild. Did not
I
see
just
that coming.
Feel, how is that not on the ultrasound? And the question was, how did that not show up on the ultrasound? And Lucy's response is, it's missed 50% of the time. That doesn't instill confidence in you. That doesn't make me feel like, I don't know. I mean, I've looked at a lot of, like, ultrasounds being pregnant twice and going to the doctor a lot, and they mean nothing to me. But I just feel, with the way they showed that baby tangled up in intestines,
you gotta
I
see
don't
that.
Understand.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying, like, obviously this, I don't believe this woman was receiving, like, essentially any prenatal care in Africa, but they were doing an ultrasound moments before they cut her stomach open. I just don't understand. I mean, again, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about ultrasounds because I could not read it for the life of me otherwise, other than they're like, you see that tiny little speck? That's the baby.
Well, Random, what I don't understand bigger, is how the baby shows up. But the intestines. Don't.
That's what I'm saying. Because like when they do it, you can see like the outline of my uterus. You can see my ovaries.
That's
they're
just
like,
the
they're
picture
always
frame.
Like, this is the ovary. So I'm just like, I don't know what picks up on ultrasounds. Obviously, I'm not an ultrasound tech. I'm not a doctor. But it is shocking to me that that wouldn't be. Again, early stages, I totally understand how that would get missed. But like late, like literally 5 minutes before they pull a 32-week baby out of her literal colon, like that's shocking to me. like I don't understand. If anyone has clarification, because there wasn't like a name diagnosis for me to look it up to be like, what are the stats on this? Like, how does it occur? Because they said how it happens, like her fallopian tube had a lot of scar tissue, so the egg just planted wherever it could find. And it's super rare that that would happen and it would be a viable pregnancy. So that's what happened in this case. Like the baby went to almost full term. 32 weeks is pretty close. It's well into the third trimester. And the issue like that was causing her pain was that when you give birth, your body then also tries to shed your placenta. And when like everything's fine, your placenta implants on like the very thin lining of the uterus. So it's easy. Like your body can just shed it as soon as the baby's out. But when your placenta is like attached to your intestines, they don't know how to do that. Like they don't, your intestines don't just like shed lining monthly. And so they don't know how to do that. So it's like, that's really implanted in your organs. And so the placenta, like it's just your body's like, this is no longer serving a purpose. It has to get out and it will like shred. And there's so much blood and everything. Cause that's like what was keeping the baby alive. There's so much blood, but your body is continuously like putting blood into it if it's not detached. So it's super common for like when there's placental rupture like that to lose so much blood that you don't survive. But luckily they were able to kind of, figure out where the source of the bleeding was coming from and take care of it. But that is to my understanding what happened. But again, I couldn't find the name for like what actually, like why there was a baby in her intestines and like any stats on that. So,
yeah. That was crazy. And she didn't look like she was pregnant
at
all.
I mean, yeah, she was clearly, I would say, relatively malnourished for being 32 weeks pregnant. I know there's like so many different ways people's body react to being pregnant. And they did say she has sickle cell. So I'm sure that's going to play a part in like just the general way that your body like handles being pregnant. So
yeah, wild. It was very wild. Luckily though, everything seems to be fine. They get the sickle cell medicine to the girls. The baby is delivered. Slightly back to Alex here for a second. So there's that scene where he's on the phone with the Nambozi clinic and, Lucy walks up and she's like, "Oh, are you talking to them on the phone?" And he's like, "Yeah, I don't know what I want to do because like I really want chief resident, but I don't think I can just go back to being just a resident. But like either way, there's like nothing here for me."
He's like the only reason to stay would be if I got chief resident. That's the only thing that would keep me here. And she's like, "Wow, good to know."
Yeah, and she that's where like, okay, Alex, just don't be an idiot. Like You read between some of the lines.
Some
read a line.
Self-awareness would be great.
Yeah. So,
like, honestly, I'm like, this conversation is fine if you have this conversation with Christina. This conversation is fine if you have it with anyone other than Lucy. Literally any other human being.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
if these people don't stop asking me for money.
it's a bummer. And then when she comes in and she absolutely just snakes that shit from him. He's like,
no,
and it's
remorse.
Such a sad scene too, because he's like, yeah, like I just, oh man, like I'm not taking it because I want to be with you, and like
I want to
like
give this a chance.
Give this a chance.
This
and then
she's
great. Like, Stop. I'm trying to punch you in the face with my words. Yeah, I'm trying to rip your heart out and stomp on it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, that was really good stuff. That was
classic. Mm.
And it was like the thing that I don't understand though is just minutes before that, Arizona was talking to him and she's like, "I don't want to recommend someone who's in love with someone." So that means Lucy had to go to Arizona and actively say, "Fuck Alex Karev, I'm taking this job."
Well, I wonder if she like called them after he had turned it down. Like if she had called them to like get info and they were like, "Oh, we actually don't have any candidates for this because Alex like isn't gonna do it." And she was like, "Oh, cool, I'll just do it then." That's my thought on the timeline. I don't know that that's unconfirmed. That's just kind of where I would assume things went down.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. Bad, sad.
Bad, sad. Sad, bad. And
bad, sad, not rad.
So true.
We were all mad.
So mad.
Even this dad.
So fucking mad.
All right. What else we talk about?
Do you want to talk about, Teddy?
Yeah. I need to start with, look at how fucking awkward she was running with a water bottle in her hand. Her whole body was so stiff and just the water bottle was just hanging there. And she's just like, "Oh,
so
blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah."
Okay. I get it. But that's what they make those pouches for. Like you can throw a wrist, like a belt, mm-hmm. or like your
a belt
like
on
shoulder
your water
bag,
bottle.
Or like a camelback. You know, do
well,
something.
Those are
Don't
too much for me.
Well, okay. You think they're too much for Teddy,
yeah.
Dr. Teddy?
I do feel that she would maybe have some, maybe she's like, "I have to carry this water bottle in case Henry dies.
Just have him,
this water
like,
bottle will save him."
Gerbil sip out of your camelback. Just like do the thing. Which anytime I think of that, do you watch the space sketch or it's like these little weird stick guys and there's one where he's climbing up a mountain and a mountain goat's like, "Can't private mountain, you can't be here." And he's like, "What? No, I can be here." And he's like, "Okay, well then as a toll, you have to let me get some of your blue drink. Like give me a suck of your blue drink." And he goes and drinks out of his like water bottle with this blue Gatorade in it. And then a beaver pops up and he's like, "What's going on here?" And he's like, "No, just protocol, just sucking the blue drink." And he goes, "Oh yeah, totally. That's protocol."
No, but there's a tweet where back before Twitter was hell. where this guy's
so bad.
Like, this guy's like, "All right, calm down, hiker with three camelbacks and, you know, pristine hiking boots. My 4-year-old just completed this hike in Barbie heels and a Capri Sun."
Oh, on their lunch break in gym.
So true. So anyways,
I'm gonna, in between episodes here, I'm gonna send you that link and you're gonna watch. It's like a 30 second reel. It's just really funny.
They're yogging and
with a soft
Teddy's like, what about that girl? She's cute. What about that girl? She's cute. What about that girl? She's cute. And Henry's like, unibrow. Which is rude.
It is rude. You know what's more rude? Is two grown-ass adults who don't know how to just share their feelings with each other.
Yeah, there's actually been some discourse about this, about Henry's persistence in the Carmen Free thread on Discord. Because we've had this conversation like prior to him kind of like admitting feelings. Just around like, and this is honestly something that I feel in a lot of different media. And I do think it happens less now. And it used to happen. It used to be a trope where the guy's like, I have feelings for you. And the girl's like, I hear you. I really like you as a friend. I don't have feelings for you. Is that okay? Can we stay friends? And the guy's like, yeah. But then like keeps pushing the feelings, which I think has socially become less acceptable. If someone says no, you can like hard stop, leave it alone. And that's just like not always how it's played. Like in the media, a lot of times it's played as like, just keep going and she'll like give in. You know, one example that you're going to hate is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I do not love that in the first season with what's his bucket and Rosa.
Oh, like, Charles and Rosa.
Pump the, like, just respectfully. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah. I also never liked
that
story.
Could not be clearer. Again, they end it, but there's just some things, they just don't age well. And again, in that time, it's like such a normalized thing, both in media and then also just like the way people would talk to each other, like, oh, just like, don't give up, whatever. But I think now it's just not really something that we accept as much, which is great. I don't think this storyline would be on now, is what I'm trying to say. It's also typically like, you know, the guy's always like really attractive. So they're like, we'll just keep going. It's like, it's fine. You're an attractive man. Like, whatever. What's the worst that could happen? She'll give in. So it's just like kind of a conversation around consent and just like people like setting a boundary and it not being respected. But again, it's kind of hard when like it's just something you have to look at through the lens of like time and how things age and just like the way that we look at different things. So anyways, so we've had that kind of conversation kind of back and forth. I don't think like in this episode specifically, I don't really think he's pushing anything. Obviously, there's a moment when he's like, it seems like he's going to, but then he asks for the divorce. Anyways, to like recap the Henry and Teddy storyline, they're jogging. She tells him that the whole thing with Andrew about like maybe going to Germany, but she doesn't know yet. And then Henry goes to Weber on his own separately from Teddy and is like, hey, I'm really interested in becoming part of your trial because I've like seen all this stuff. And he, you know, Weber's like, I don't like this, blah, blah. And he says, well, I know you don't like that I married Teddy for her insurance, but if I need my own insurance, I need a job. And I need to like not just pass out every 5 minutes. And this trial is like a way to potentially ensure that from happening. And Weber's still on the fence about it, even after he like, you know, does a bunch of physical tests and everything. But then Weber, you know, finds out he's up against Andrew Perkins. And he's like, oh, I love me an underdog, which is funny. That's a funny line. So what you're saying is he's a professional white knight. And so.
Yeah. That was such a good, when he's like, no, I'm just saying you need all the help you can get, buddy.
Yeah.
Didn't mince words.
The odds are not in your favor. So, anyway, so long story short, he does get in the trial. Because of the trial, Henry's able to get his job back. I keep almost saying Jake, and it's very confusing. Henry's able to get his job back, goes to Teddy, tells her he's like really excited. And she's like, cool, I'm going to Germany. And he's like, cool, give me a divorce. So that's kind of where it ends with that.
Yeah. Here's some thoughts that I have. I want to be very clear. I agree that if someone shares feelings, it's like, you know, but I think also we in corporate America, there is the one strike and you're out rule. If you ask someone on a date at work, that's
have
the rule.
Seen
I think
the SNL should, about that.
I haven't. No. I need it. I need. Yeah, send it to me.
Yeah, yeah. Your wife also needs to see it because it's like HR specific.
Oh, good. You know it. If you ask someone out or you share your feelings, that's it. And you know what? If they develop feelings, okay, they have to come back to you, right? But like,
they don't have to. But you know, it's well, you. No, you if, would if they develop. They would. Oh, yeah, you're saying like you can't go back. Like it's the ball's in their court. I see
yes,
what you're saying. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Once you say it the first time, the ball's in their court. They have to mm-hmm. come back. If they turn you down, they have to come back. You can't ask someone out for a second time.
Again, to circle back to Stark, who you know we're on the fence about. We're back and forth with. When April says, "If I say no, will you keep me out of surgery?" and he says, "No, that's sexual harassment." Like he's very like there will be no retaliation. Like.
Yeah,
you can ask, but I think it's good on him to make it clear you are still like it's within your right to say no. Do not feel like you have to say yes.
Absolutely. So I'm very much a fan of that. I think where I'm confused a little bit is I feel like they've been writing Teddy as someone who's giving these long, lingering glances to Henry and like she's feeling it. And when she says that she isn't interested in him. I don't remember what exactly had happened, but I feel like I remember it coming off of the heels of her putting a wall up because it was the right thing to do. But I don't remember exactly why I'm getting that feeling. A couple of these episodes are kind of blurring together, but I don't know. I feel like ever since the musical pelvic thrust, there's been some chemistry between the two of them.
I feel like, as the viewers, they want us to think that Teddy does have feelings that she's trying.
That's what I'm feeling.
To put out. But I'm talking about it like from the, if you're Henry, I don't think that respectfully, no means no. I don't care if you feel like there are mixed signals. If you've got a hard no, you've got a hard no. And again, to your point, it's up to the other person. Then if they do start to have feelings like the ball's in their court, it's their choice. I do think, I see what you're saying where there's confusion because I do think they're playing it to the audience where we are meant to think like, oh, does she maybe have feelings for him? You know?
And I thought that end scene when Perkins was there, mm-hmm. I thought that she was going to be like, are you sure? Or something like, I don't know.
Oh,
like,
when he asked for the divorce?
Yeah. It looked
and
like
then,
she
yeah,
was disappointed.
Just, like, cuts away. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's how they have it being played again. Yeah. But, yeah.
Bring back Secret Service guy.
Ugh, what a time. We're going to be reading that fanfic on Patreon very soon. Mm. Very much looking forward to that one.
Is that the one Alicia wrote?
Yes.
Oof. Oof. So excited. I feel like we should record with her on screen with us so we can get her reaction.
So she could like see how red I turn when I'm reading this.
Did you already read it?
No. I feel like it's important that we read it together. I didn't read the Alice and Richard one. I read that one live when I was reading it out loud. That was
I love it. That was
where
fun.
I was struggling.
Oh, I'm so happy. So anyways, it's interesting. So official prediction, I think this is how they get Teddy out of the show is Perkins takes her and sweeps her way to Germany.
So Just Henry's storyline just goes away and he goes to DC or like, does he linger?
Yeah, this is when he gets his own insurance and the islet cell trial actually gives him a full healing of his medical condition. And that's when he goes in to become B613 command.
Amazing. What a twist.
That's my full official prediction.
Okay. Also wanted to circle back to Alex and Lucy because previously you did predict that they were going to get married and have children. Do you
there's
feel
still
like
a
that's
chance.
Correct?
There's still a chance, but mm-hmm. right now I think I'm willing to maybe change my prediction. I think that I predict officially that Lucy's going to get written off the show so that she can do an 8-episode TV show about Charlie's Angels. I don't know why. There's just a feeling I have. It's just
right.
Something. No, I don't. Yeah, that's. Maybe she'll leave and come back, maybe, but Alex needs someone new. I don't know what he needs. Maybe he's going to be single forever. I actually don't know.
Probably therapy.
It's true. Maybe Lexi and Jackson are going to break up and Alex and Jackson will get together and they'll say, you know what? We're swearing off women.
That's how that works.
And then Lexi will get back with Mark and then Jackson and Alex are going to uncover the feelings that they've had all along.
It would be an attractive couple.
Alex has a lot of Iowa suppressed emotions in there.
Alex needs therapy.
They all need therapy.
Every single person on the show. Respectfully, if I'm prioritizing, Alex is top five easy.
Alex is top two.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's number one. Alex is number one.
I don't know if Alex is number one. I definitely think Weber needs some therapy.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
I definitely think Derek could unpack some shit. You know, obviously Meredith has started and was making a lot of progress. I think that could continue.
Yeah.
Especially if she is, you know, going to take the step into the journey of motherhood.
Yeah. Owen, I hope, is still continuously in therapy.
Yeah. Owen could for sure be in therapy forever.
Yeah. Anyways, therapy is good for everyone.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts before we go into another episode?
I don't think so. I'm just very thirsty, so I'm going to go find my water bottle because I have, for some reason, not brought it in here. I was just excited about the doors.
I'm going to get a cookie.
Okay. But we will start next episode with everyone's favorite segment.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.